I love that opening prayer this morning, the collect. Could I borrow your bulletin? Just to highlight, all Holy Scripture is to be written for our learning. Grant us to hear them, read them, mark them, learn from them, and my favorite phrase, and inwardly digest them. I love that phrase, thank you. Inwardly digest them. It's taking the Word of God and letting it nourish us and feed us in this journey we walk. So what I'd like to do this morning is to engage with, inwardly digest with you, this parable that we just heard Jesus share in the Gospel from Matthew this morning. Want to engage with it and offer you at least three interpretations. Not that there's just three interpretations, but offer you three interpretations and see how it feeds or nourishes you along the way as well. This parable, it's believed, is from the life of Jesus of Nazareth. This unsettles some people, but some of the parables in the Scriptures were stories of the early church. And they put them into the words, into the mouth of Jesus, when they put it into the Scriptures. That was not an unusual form of literary style in the time of the Scriptures being written. In other words, a story would be told, it would be put into the words, the mouth of the hero in the story. So some of the parables of Jesus, it's believed, were from the early church. And they were placed in the story of Jesus, with Jesus speaking them. There are other parables that it's believed are very much from the words of Jesus of Nazareth, who walked among us. And usually, if you want to figure out which parables they are, usually they're ones you don't want to hear. That's been my experience. When you read a parable, you say, oh, this is so rough. This can't be Jesus. Chances are, yep, that's one that Jesus told. So let's look at this parable today, which it's believed Jesus of Nazareth spoke and used in his ministry. It actually appears in two Gospels. It appears in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. But the version we have today is from Matthew's Gospel. So here's what's just happened. I'm not going to read the whole Gospel again, but just kind of summarize. So it speaks of a master who has a lot. And he's going on a journey. And he calls forth three of his slaves. And he gives them each a number of talents. When we hear the word talent in English, we think of a talent. You know, she's very talented. She has great skills and talents. That's not what this word means in English. It doesn't mean that in Greek. The Greek word, remember the Scriptures were written in Greek, the Greek word is talanton. And it's a word that is an amount of money. It's actually a measurable amount of money. And believe it or not, one talent equals 20 years of a worker's wage who worked in the fields, who was just living to survive. A talent was 20 years of income, of wages. And so the master gives the first slave five talents. That's 100 years worth of wages. He gives the second slave two talents. That's 40 years of wages. And he gives the third slave one talent, 20 years of wages. Just as a side, in Luke's version of this same story, Luke uses a different word for the money. He uses a word that's hard to pronounce. It's M-N-A, minya, which is actually only 3 months of wages. Whatever is the right understanding, it's a lot of money. And some suggest that this parable that Jesus told, perhaps he's using kind of hyperbole. He's using, you know, big numbers to tell this story, whether it's meant literally or not. But remember, this is a parable. Jesus isn't saying this is something that happened. He's telling a story. So he gives these three slaves these talents. And the gospel says that the master returns. And when he returns, the man with the slave with the five talents comes to him and says, here's your five back and here's five more. It's 200 years worth of wages. The second slave says, here's the two you gave me, and here's two more. And he goes to the third slave, and the third slave says, I took what you gave me, I took the talent, and I buried it. I hid it. I kept it safe. Here it is back again. And the way the story is told, the master is not pleased with that. Takes the talent, gives it to somebody else, and sort of casts out this slave. It's how the story is told. So how do we interpret that? Many of us initially probably interpret it as the master somehow being God. That's an initial interpretation. But there are some interpretations that have come down to us that have a different twist on it. And I'm always drawn to different twists on things. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you go along in life and you think you figured something out, and all of a sudden someone gives a challenging way of seeing it, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. It just doesn't mean you have to agree with it, or it becomes yours, but it gets you to think. So the first interpretation I want to share with you, just reading up on this a little bit, it came from around the late 19th and 20th century. Some scholars at that time were writing about this, and they were looking at this parable through the optics of the world they lived in, the late 1800s, the kind of things changing, workers feeling a bit oppressed and feeling not able to have a voice, feeling kind of poor, feeling as industries grew in the early 20th century. And then one interpretation is this, which is a twist, that one slave who had the one talent is actually the hero of the parable. The interpretation is that one slave said, I'm not buying into this. I'm not buying into being a slave. I'm not buying into taking your gift and doing anything with it. I stand opposed to this social structure. I stand opposed to this slavery and this oppression and this world in which we've put together. I stand in opposition to it. And if you don't like it, fine. Take your gift. Cast me out. It's what happened to me anyway. I'm thrown away. And he's actually, you know, in this story, the master is not God. The master is a master who demands things of his slaves. And this one slave is saying, no. No. It's one interpretation. One interpretation. But it's an interpretation that's done very strongly through the optics of a particular time in history. And that sometimes can happen. We need to bring our experience to reading Scripture, but sometimes we can bring so much of an experience we may not really pick up or hear what was the experience of Christ, of Jesus telling this parable. What's that context? And so these other two interpretations are more from that context. So is that one interpretation? I've been reading a lot recently. I had a seminary professor. We've all had seminary professors that touched us in some way. John Meyer was one who touched me very, very deeply. I lived right across the hall from him for 3.5 years. And he was a scripture professor and has gone on to become kind of a scripture, in my opinion, a scripture scholar, written multi-volume books on Jesus of Nazareth. I do this because that's about how much the volumes are of what he's written. And just scholarship, unbelievable. When I read him, I hear his voice. And he offers a couple of interpretations of this parable. Well, he offers one interpretation, but he describes two. Another interpretation is, and you start with the question, well, who was Jesus telling this parable to? Who's he talking to? We don't know from the gospel reading. We don't know. One interpretation is that perhaps he was talking to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, the people of the temple, of the synagogue, and was almost calling them to task. Remember, Jesus was a rabbi. He was engaging with those folks. And what he's saying in this story is, perhaps, you, scribes, Pharisees, leaders of the temple, synagogue, you are that one slave with that one talent. And you have received a wondrous gift through the Torah, through the revelation of God to you, through Moses, through your liturgy, through your traditions, and you have buried it. You have self-aggrandized yourself. Is that even a word? You've made yourself great, but have held on to this gift. You just might as well have buried it. It has not gone beyond itself. It's not engaged with the world around, and you're being called to that in a sense. So the gift will be taken and given to somebody else. It's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that Jesus was talking to his followers, was speaking to his disciples, perhaps a small group of his followers or a large group of his followers. What he was saying to them is, you have been given a great gift. You have been given this treasure. Don't just hold it to yourself. Don't just keep it safe. Don't just bury it. But let it burst forth. Let it go forth. And the phrase I always like to use, and change the world. Let it burst forth, and don't hold on to it as you go forward. So the parable is really engaging and challenging his followers to take the gift they've been given and go forth with it out into the world. I like that interpretation, because my seminary professor says it's a good interpretation. So I can't let go of that, 38 years later. But what the important thing is to think of it, and there's probably other interpretations, but how do we hear that? How do we hear that parable as we gather here this morning, as we learn and mark and inwardly digest these words? How do we hear them? How do we engage with them? How is this parable speaking to us gathered here this morning? As I hear it individually, George, the gifts, the talents that you've been given, don't hide them, don't bury them. But let them go forth. For all of us gathered as a community, and each of you ask that question of yourself, and as a community of faith here at St. Paul's, do we take the gifts we've been given and bury them, or hide them, protect them, keep them safe? Or are we called to go beyond ourselves and make a difference? In the Episcopal Church itself, as Bishop Curry calls us, to be the Jesus movement, this movement that goes forth. In our diocesan convention, we've talked about being the beloved community that has this call to go out and make a difference in the world. So this parable is a call to us. It's a stewardship parable. Remember a few weeks ago I mentioned that Jesus, most of what he spoke about, much was the kingdom of God, but one of the largest things he talked about was money, the gifts that we've been given. What God has given us, and how we make a difference in our world. And so I reflect on this reading today, not just to see the gifts I've been given to hold and protect and defend and just keep safe, but how do I open my life up? And I invite you to do that as well in your own life. And we here at St. Paul's, we continue the journey together. So we continue to walk this faith journey. How do we continue to share who we are, break forth and multiply, if you want to use that word, the gifts we've had as we go forth into the community making a difference? So offer those reflections on you this morning, with you this morning, as you listen to this reading. So invite you, could I read that? Can I borrow your bulletin again? As we blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant us to hear them. Grant us to read them. Grant us to mark them. Help us to learn them. And help us to inwardly digest them. Take it on as food and nourishment, and let it transform and nourish and nurture us and challenge us along the way. Let us go forth into the world making a difference.